Chapter 41. Michael paced the block. Yet again, he couldn't sleep. Such was his anxiety about Olive. She wasn't returning his calls and had blocked the house number, so he was reliant on trying through phone boxes. A door opened across the street. Michael paused in the shadows and watched. His ancient neighbor stepped out and looked around furtively before climbing into his car. Michael had seen the man do the exact same thing the night before. He wasn't dressed for any kind of work, and it was well past the hour of socialization. There was only one direction in which the man's car could be headed: the ministry. Michael's brain whirred as he considered the unimaginable. Grabbing his car keys, he set off after the old man. He hung back half a block or so, maintaining a discreet distance. Sure enough, the old man soon pulled over by the ministry square. He climbed out of his car and hobbled towards the vast domed building. As he neared the front steps, he detoured to the side, approaching the invisible doorway Michael had first observed years back. The old man glanced around to check the square was empty, then knocked on the door. A hatch opened at eye level, and he placed something through. The hatch closed. The old man bowed to the door, then hobbled back to his car. Michael hid until the old man was gone, then climbed out of his car and approached the hatch. He patted his pockets for something of value, then settled on his wristwatch. He knocked on the door and the hatch slid open. A sliver of light warmed his face. Michael could see no one operating the hatch, but there was a collection bowl affixed to it. Michael deposited his wristwatch, then stepped back. The hatch closed. Michael bowed and walked away. Was that it? Had he just stumbled across the secret of ministry offerings? A grating sound pricked his ears. He turned in time to see the hatch reopen and spit his watch onto the stones below. The offering bowl was immediately retracted and the hatch slammed shut. A security automaton glided out onto the raised platform at the top of the grand steps, clicking its head to scan the square below. Michael snatched up his wristwatch and hurried back to the car. Driving home, Michael pondered what they wanted. They had accepted something, but he had no idea what. He hurried back to the old man's house and knocked frantically. His aged neighbor shuffled to the door and opened it a fraction.
"Yes?"
said the old man, peering at Michael from behind a security chain. "What's your secret? The thing you just dropped off at the ministry, what is it?" said Michael desperately. The old man's eyes widened fearfully.
"Get off my property!" he rasped.
He tried to slam the door, but Michael wedged his foot in the gap. "Please, tell me and I'll leave you in peace."
"Go, or I'll call the police!" cried the man.
With his hands raised in surrender, Michael removed his foot. The old man slammed the door shut, swiftly turning the deadlocks. Michael slouched home and sank onto the couch. The old man had more wrinkles than a cabbage, yet he was still going strong, while others, like Michael's father, died so much younger. The old man had to be cheating the system. Why the hell else would he be conducting a secretive ritual using a little-known invisible hatch under the cover of night? Michael had to discern the secret for his own family. But how? It hit him like a bolt. He couldn't believe he'd been so stupid. He rushed down to the basement, rummaging through all of his detritus until he reached a dusty old suitcase. Hauling it out onto the floor, he flung the lid open, revealing the broken automaton inside. He lifted the first piece up to the light and marveled at it. This machine had sacrificed itself to help his family once before. If he could repair it somehow, maybe it would help them again. Michael worked through the night, fueled by coffee and despair at the impending 6 a.m. deadline that could see his family snatched from him. In his time at the engineering firm, before he'd become sidetracked by his morbid private investigations, he'd used the quiet hours to swat up on his mechanical skills, with the hope of one day being able to leverage an apprenticeship. That ship had sailed, but at least his knowledge was being put to use now, as he assembled cogs and levers and rewired the internal mechanisms, which seemed to be powered by some sort of gas exchange. The eyes needed polishing. Both were intact, though one was cracked. He He traced his hand wistfully over the beautiful blue stain that infused the machine's cranium and upper vertebrae. Michael fitted the last of the external plating, a jigsaw of enamel and metal, then rotated the chair to face him. He marveled at the figure before him. On tenterhooks, he inserted the final piece, the machine's heart, if you could use such a term. It was a pyramid-shaped piece of cerebrium around the size of Michael's thumbnail. It bore the same sunburst colors as the stains on the gas exchange outlets. He pressed it into place, then activated the four valves below it. The vacuum tanks hissed, repressurizing. Michael closed the automaton's chest plates and stepped back fearfully. With a metallic clinking, the machine rose to its feet. Its head rotated, surveying the room, then stopped abruptly 2/3 of the way around. Something was jamming in its neck. Michael blushed, knowing he hadn't quite been able to straighten out all the damaged parts. The machine tried several more times, then reversed course, rotating its head the long way to reach the other side. It then rotated its wrists, tested its arm motion in all planes, before taking a precarious step forward. Michael shuffled back further. The machine turned its head to focus on him, then rotated its body to catch up. It glided towards him until it was just inches from his face. Michael raised a trembling hand. Furtively, he patted the automaton's chest. The machine released a jet of steam. Michael leaned back sharply, ducking the plume of hot air while the automaton hastily tightened a valve around its neck. As the air cleared, the machine's hand flew upwards. Michael cowered, anticipating a heavy blow. After a moment, he peered out between his fingers. The machine patted him gently on the chest, then glided backwards.
I need your help, Michael stammered. My daughter's in danger, from the ministry. They want to use her to punish me. There's an old man across the street, a neighbor. I think he's figured out a way to protect his family. There's some sort of offering the ministry accepts. Can you show me what it is?
The machine stared at him blankly. Michael was about to explain again when the doorbell interrupted. He hurried upstairs, sealing the basement behind him.
Kelsey, what on earth are you doing here at this hour?
He examined Kelsey's face further and realized she wasn't there to fight. She bore an expression he'd not seen on her before. Genuine fear. Standing on the path behind her was a young woman he didn't recognize. She looked to be around the same age as Olive, but she had the innocent, vacant expression of a child and was wearing a hospital gown.
"What's going on?" said Michael warily.
Kelsey looked him in the eye.
I need a favor,